I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Please always remember this, that it is a good life. That good life comes by living for the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. Well, we want to continue our study in the book of 2 Peter, and we're picking up with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And notice in verses 10 through 18 that the day of the Lord will come. Some people think he's not coming. Some people think he did not come in the first place, but I know the Bible says he came, and I know the Bible says he's coming again. And that's all that's necessary for me to believe, is to believe that Jesus Christ, as God, will keep his word. But I want you to notice something with me. Now, in verses 10 through 12, the cataclysmic destruction that will take place on this earth. God's judgment will happen without notice, according to verse 10. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." There are really no signs when we stop to think about this. The Bible teaches us that whether there are signs or not, that people are to be ready. We are to be ready as the human beings who live on this earth. Now, for us who are saved, this is going to be something that takes place that really we don't have to worry about. Now, I'll get into that in just a moment. But God's judgment will happen. And that's what these verses are telling us here. The heavens will be dissolved. And this is going to result in indescribable noise, according to verse 10. And the elements will disappear because of intense heat. Also in verse 10, we see that the earth will be changed completely, without a doubt. And since God's judgment will result in dissolving the heaven and the earth, and everything that man has trusted, shouldn't we live our lives as God wants us to? Notice verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" When we live godly lives, we will be eagerly looking for and wanting the coming of the Lord to hurry. Verse 12 says, "Looking for and hasting, looking for, we want it to happen, unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Well, the day of the Lord is coming. And what it's speaking of here is something that the saved person today, we really don't have to worry about. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading with verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that's people who have died and gone on to be with the Lord, "that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, and that hope means an assurance. Verse 14 goes on to say, "For it, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What I've just read to you takes place before the time that we're reading of in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're already with the Lord when all of this takes place, all of these things taking place that we read of in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're already with the Lord. And I would have you know that some people do not teach that there is such a thing as the rapture of the church. Well, they can't claim verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 then, where it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And I don't know about you, but I need all the comfort I can get. And my comfort comes from the Lord, and I believe His word. And so I'm comforted in knowing that whether this body dies and I go to be with the Lord, or whether He comes back and says, "Come up hither," and this body's still alive at that point, and He says, "Come up hither," I'm going to be with the Lord. And I am to comfort my brothers and sisters in Christ by letting them know that Jesus Christ is coming for me and for them. If they've trusted Jesus Christ, the people in this earth, if they trust Jesus Christ, He's coming for them. But now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18 and see what takes place. Verses 13 through 18 tells us that these things are to be expected by those who are looking. Now, no matter what others think, we, because of what God has promised, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth. Although we're going to be already with the Lord, we still look for these things. In verse 13, it says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise," God's promise this, "we look for a new heavens and a new earth." And He goes on to say, "Wherein dwelleth righteousness." We look for these things. We are going to be with the Lord, but we are still looking for these things. And this is going to be where only the saved live, according to what the Scriptures say here. In Isaiah 65:17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Revelation 21:1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Well, as we look forward and as the people look forward to these things, we should be persistent or diligent in living godly lives. Whether we're going to be here, whether or not, and we're not going to be here when all this takes place in this human form, we're going to be with the Lord. But we're still right now to live godly lives, because those people who are going to be here, they need to be warned that these times are coming. This time is coming when it's going to be too late to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. We're to warn these people. And verse 13 talks about that we're to be persistent. Verse 14 says this, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things," for such things, "be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish." Well, we're to be persistent. And as we look at that verse in verse 14, godly living produces peace without guilt. And notice this also. We are testimonies. We give an account. We are testimonies to God's patience. According to verse 15, it says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." God waited on us to be saved, and His long-suffering means that other people have an opportunity to be saved. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But notice that verse goes on to speak of something here in verse 15 and 16. It says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, so according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Verse 16, "As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." Some people say you can't understand what Paul's writing about. But that's not what verse 16 is talking about here. Notice, if you keep reading, it says, "In which some things are hard to be understood, which they," or by those who are unlearned and unstable, "they wrest these things, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction." Well, Paul wrote some things, and he wrote most of the New Testament, by the way. Peter says Paul's writings are hard to understand. Why? Because it's because of those who do not study the Word of God. Those people who do not get into the Word of God, who have been saved, and they do not get into the Word of God, how do they expect to understand the things of God if they do not study the Word of God? And it's also for those people who are not saved. The Bible says there in verse 16, it's to their own destruction. This means they are not saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," that's us who are saved, "but we have received," and it says, "but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to us of God. The promises of God are contained in His Word. He's freely given us His Word, and He's given us those promises found in that Word, in His Word, and we need to study that as saved people. And then we start understanding that God wants us to know the things of God. And we can know those things because we are saved. But notice the unsaved person here, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, that's the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things that an unsaved person can understand from God is that they are lost, they can't save themselves, and they need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God imparts that truth to them. When they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then they can also get into the Word of God and they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, notice something else here in verse 17. Since we know what Peter is talking about, we are to be vigilant. In other words, we are to be aware. We are to beware. And unmovable, that means to be steadfast. Look at verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Ye, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." That means to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It's not talking about us falling and losing salvation. It's talking about us paying attention to these false prophets and false teachers that Peter's been talking about all through the Scriptures in the epistle of 2 Peter. Well, instead of wavering in faith because of listening to doubters of the faith and the not believing the promises of God, we are to grow in the grace, and that's freedom from sin, and we are to grow in the knowledge, and that's the understanding that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And Peter ends this epistle by saying, "To Christ be glory both now and forever. Amen." Notice the last part of verse 18. He says to him, that's Christ, "be glory both now and forever. Amen." Do you know Christ today as your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? The Spirit of God is dealing with your heart right now saying, "Come to me. Let me save you." Jesus wants to save you right now. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. You want to go to heaven. You want to know more about God. You want to know more about Jesus Christ, who is God. Therefore, you need to ask Him to come into your heart. "Lord, save me. I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you now, here, and forever. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, LRWM.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.